Well, happy Thanksgiving Eve, guys. Really good to spend this night with you guys. And I am totally excited. This is going to be a lot of fun, and hopefully it'll get us ready for what the heck is this thing that we're doing tomorrow. We're all going to celebrate. We're going to eat turkey. But what's the purpose behind this thing? That's what I'm hoping to uncover with you guys. And to start us off, I want to share one of my favorite Bible verses. This is in Psalm 34, verse 8. It says this: "Taste and see that the Lord is good." That's a good start, isn't it? Taste and see that the Lord is good. I like doing that. "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him." I feel like this verse was fitting for us because tomorrow we're all, probably all of us, at least if not all of us, most of us, and I bet you this weekend we will all have the opportunity to put this verse into action. Say, what does it mean, God, to taste and see that you are good, that you have good things for us? I think that Thanksgiving may actually be the most important holiday that you celebrate this year. It's interesting with Christmas. You may think, well, what about Christmas? Well, Christmas, there are a lot of things going on. We've got presents and Santa Claus and putting up lights on our houses and all the different things that come with that. With Thanksgiving, we get incredibly focused around a single topic. And we're all going to have the chance, hopefully, to spend time with families, to be with people that we love and care about. We're hopefully going to have a time where we inventory, gosh, God, what are the good things that you've been producing in my life? And how can I spend time with people that I actually love and care about and let them know they're really important to me? And I love them too. And we're all going to have an opportunity to do that. And I want to start off too by saying, thinking of tasting and seeing, I don't know how you cannot know there's a God if you've tried homemade mashed potatoes. Let me be totally honest. One of my favorite things about Thanksgiving, let's clap for that. If you love homemade mashed potatoes, I will clap for that too. How can you not know there is a God if you've eaten homemade mashed potatoes? And one of the things that our family does every year, we try to get together with our friends for something we call Friends Thanksgiving. And so either the Sunday before Thanksgiving or the Sunday after Thanksgiving, we pull together all of our friends, we invite them over to our house, and everybody's then responsible for a side dish. And so we'll say, we'll do the turkeys, and everyone will do green bean casserole and salad and bread and, you know, stuffing, et cetera, and everyone goes down the list. And I remember one of the years, our friend Sarah, her actual name is Jane, but as friend Sarah, we'll just call her that, she came and she was responsible for doing the mashed potatoes. And so you were thinking, if you had written down on your list that you were supposed to bring mashed potatoes, what would you bring? Thank you very much, you would bring mashed potatoes, that's correct. Well, Sarah came to our house and came up with her little kind of casserole dish, and I'm thinking, oh, this is gonna be so good. Yes, I love mashed potatoes. And so she comes up, and I like kind of peek open the lid, and I'm like, what is this? It was like cheesy potato bake. I'm like, this isn't mashed potatoes. Oh my God, what are we gonna do? And so quickly, like, I was ready to like excommunicate her from Thanksgiving. Like, Sarah's not our friend anymore. And I was like, no, I gotta do something else. So I ran to Kroger, I go to the deli, and literally buy every bit of mashed potatoes that they had. And so they put them in the plastic tubs. And I'm like, this is totally not gonna be enough. So I run to the refrigerated aisle, and they've got like a seal packs of more fresh mashed potatoes. And, you know, I grabbed as much as they had. We put it all in. Thanksgiving saved, disaster averted, we had mashed potatoes, everything was okay, and we were able to keep our friendship. It was close, but I'm a little obsessed about mashed potatoes because I believe you can't have Thanksgiving without that. I'm like totally obsessed in like a non-creepy way though, like not in a weird way obsessed. But for some of us, maybe mashed potatoes isn't the obsession during Thanksgiving, but many of us, we're going to be excited because tomorrow there are 3 games of NFL football going on. And so we're going to be excited to sit on our couches, watch some great football, and that's going to be good. So much so that, you know, you're not crazy if you have a different dip planned for every single quarter of all 3 of the football games. And so I've got a picture. If you've got a dip tray that looks something like this, I would like you to invite me to my house. That's amazing. Like, I would love to do that. And, you know, it is not crazy if you go and you've got like 8 television screens and you're actually watching more game footage in one day than Andy Dalton watches the whole season. Like, that is absolutely amazing. You know, not obsessed with fantasy football, you are going a little too far when you do this. And it's like, man, I think my grandma could have made something cooler than that. Like, I'm sorry, that's totally not cool. But nothing wrong with having a lot of fun with football. I'm really pumped about that tomorrow. Or for some of you, you get into a very different sport at this time of year. And so maybe football's not your pace, but maybe you have a whole different sport that's called Black Friday shopping. And so I knew there would be some fans of Black Friday shopping. I've done that before. And so your idea with Black Friday shopping, you know, you've been intently getting ready. You've been training like an NFL coach before the Super Bowl game. You're like looking at circulars, getting ready to like map your thing out like Peyton Manning would set up a play. I mean, it's really impressive. You remember this lady? She was the one that was like, hoo, hoo, hoo. She was doing the push-ups, getting ready. And yeah, she's like, oh, come on. You know, you're getting ready for tomorrow. Did you know that people actually are putting together different playbooks for Thanksgiving Eve? This person on this next slide, they actually have like audibles that they're ready to call. Like, oh my gosh, if that line gets full, we're going to put you over here. And if this one, that's amazing. Like, they're really excited about Black Friday. Now, man, nothing wrong with Black Friday because, I mean, it's fun. You know, it looks something like this. That's fun. You know, Black Friday, it's all good, right? You know, that lady looks like she's having fun. I think Grandma is like death grip on the lady. Now, if you look closely behind Grandma, there's a guy who you can't even see his face because he's like just head down straight to the TVs. That's where he's thinking. And then how about the dude with the circular who's like, I haven't even figured out, am I going to the Furby? Am I getting, like, what am I going to get? And then if you look, the gate isn't even open yet. Like, these people have crawled under the gate to get a $4.99 toaster. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Black Friday, it is going to be awesome. This looks like joy, doesn't it? Now, just a little confession between me and you, something you don't know about me. I have experienced Black Friday. I used to like to get up early. One of the other things I experienced, 8 years ago when the PlayStation 3 came out, I totally camped out overnight to get one of the PlayStation 3s. And let me tell you, there are interesting folk that you hang out with that camp out overnight in front of a Target to get a PlayStation 3. I'm one of them. And so I remember that. But there's something really important. There's something that we need to be on the lookout because if this thing is happening under our noses and if we're not careful, we're going to miss out on something very, very important. If you don't believe me, check this out. You know, I was doing a little research for this and take a look at this. What is wrong with this picture? No, take a look. Take a look. What's wrong? No, look closely. What is wrong with this picture? You call that a doorbuster? I mean, Walmart had that on like page 8 for less than that. Give me a break. That's not a doorbuster. That's not even 50%. No, you're right. It was totally thanks. They're open at 6 a.m. on Thanksgiving. Can you believe that? Like, I totally read that. I'm like, oh, I must be like double taking. Like, let's say 6 p.m., right? Wow, 6 a.m. Who knew that that would be happening? And, you know, I'm not actually mad at Kmart or Walmart or any of the places for being open. I am a little bummed that some of the workers are going to have to work and miss time with families, and they sure as heck better get paid like double time. I heard they get at least double time for that, right? But I'm not frustrated about that as much as I'm frustrated that people are going to be standing in line to be there. People are going to be in these places in droves. And what upsets me about that is we're going to miss an opportunity to really practice this thing called Thanksgiving together. I mean, is getting the TV for half price really going to increase the joy that we have? Is it worth getting that cheaper appliance or whatnot, but missing out on real time that we're going to be able to have with our friends and our family and the people that we love most? Is it worth missing the opportunity to say, God, just thank you. I want to thank you for the good stuff that we're doing. I just want us to be careful. There is nothing wrong with Black Friday shopping. I love football. I'm going to be watching some football tomorrow. But I just don't want us to miss this opportunity. This thing that's happening, it even has a name. It's called Gray Thursday. You know, it's creeping from Black Friday to Gray Thursday. It even has a name. I want us to be careful. I don't want us to miss this thing that may be creeping up before we've totally missed out. I feel like Thanksgiving is going the way of dinosaurs. But I have hope. I have a lot of hope that in the midst of this creeping of Gray Thursday, that just like, you remember I had to go and I had to get mashed potatoes? Like, hey, there was an opportunity to fix this thing. We have an opportunity to keep the sacred thought of Thanksgiving on our lives. We have an opportunity this Thanksgiving, this weekend, this whole time to actually continue saying, God, I think there's a reason for me. I think you might have something for me in that. And that's what we're going to spend the rest of our time looking at tonight. I want to say a quote, though, real quickly. This was one that I just thought really accurately described. What are we going after? Why are we doing this Thanksgiving thing? It says this, the famous author says, the moment we become grateful, we actually begin to ascend spiritually into the presence of God. The psalmist wrote, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations. He continues, it does not matter what your circumstances are. The instant you begin to thank God, even your situation has not changed, you begin to change. The key that unlocks the gates of heaven is a thankful heart. I want the gates of heaven unlocked for you. I think you have a God that wants to, I want the gates of heaven to be unlocked for you. I want you to experience the joy, the full joy. I want you to experience the community. I want you to experience this abundance that many of us are going to miss if we're not really, really careful. I want that for you, and I want us to pray about that right now. God, I thank you that you are a good God that wants those things for us. And as we spend our next few moments just being able to say, God, how do we do that? God, I pray that it wouldn't be my words, but God, I pray that you would be speaking so clear to us to say, this is what I want you to do. This is what I have for you. And God, I pray that we would be bold enough to take action on that. I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. Well, guys, there's a story in the New Testament that I feel like really illustrates where we are at right now. It's in Luke chapter 17, and this is one of the biographies of Jesus' life. And here's where it starts off. It says that on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria, and Galilee. And he was going into a little village where 10 men had leprosy that met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Let's keep that up for a second. There's a lot going on here in a little bit of time. So Jesus is walking. He sees 10 guys that had leprosy. Now, leprosy was a really interesting thing back in those times because if you had leprosy, which was a range of skin diseases that would make your skin look really weird, you would be completely pushed out of society. You know, it's not like, well, you can't do, you would be completely shunned and put on the outskirts of where people lived. And so these people were completely put out of their jobs, their homes, their families. They were completely excommunicated from where they were, and they had a real need. And so these 10 guys, they reach out to Jesus, will you do something, help us? And Jesus says, do this. I have an action I want you to take. And the interesting thing is, I don't know if you've read this full story before, these guys take action. They actually do a good thing. They listen to Jesus. And so they listen to him, and the way that you would listen is if you were healed and something happened and you no longer had that disease, you would show yourself to the priest in that time. And the priest would thoroughly look you over from head to toe, say, yep, you are clean or not clean. If you're clean, you'd be restored back into community. And so this is a really, really big deal for these 10 guys. And they take a big step in faith saying, okay, Jesus, I'm going to go after this. It's really interesting. All 10 of the guys do it. But let's continue reading this. So it continues. It said this here. One of them, so all 10 are healed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, he came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Rise and go. Your faith has made you well. It's interesting. Jesus calls this guy a foreigner. So this guy, he was a Samaritan. A Samaritan was a person that didn't usually grow up with all the biblical knowledge that these other 9 guys would have had. They probably would have memorized a lot of the Old Testament. But this foreigner who didn't have the upbringing, he chooses to do something completely different. And so he gets healed and he says, Jesus, I'm going to return to you. I'm going to take my action. I'm going to return to you. I'm going to say thank you. Thank you for what you've done. And the interesting thing, he's the one guy that Jesus says, you haven't just been cleansed, you haven't just been taken away from leprosy, you are whole, you've been made well, and Jesus had something for him. The other interesting thing, the other 9 show up, and Jesus is like, what happened? Where are those guys at? And when he's saying, hey, where are those 9 guys? And he calls out, you know, is it just the foreigner? I don't think he's talking to the one guy in that moment. I think he's actually talking to the community around saying, has anyone heard thanks from these guys? And it's interesting, it's crickets. He's listening. Nobody's speaking up. Nobody's heard thanks from any of these 9 guys. And you know what? Unfortunately, I think those 9 guys missed out. I think they had an opportunity to recognize the good happening in their lives, the reason to be thankful, and to point that at Jesus and say, Jesus, I want to thank you for the good things in my life. I want to thank you for what's going on. And as a result, they missed out on this huge blessing that was on the back end of that. I believe the nine lepers did not experience the fullness that God had for them. And I think it's the reason, the first point I want to make, thankfulness is the primary muscle we use to experience God. Thankfulness is the primary muscle we use to experience God. If you want to experience God, you need to work out your thankfulness. You need to practice doing that. You actually need to spend time doing that. And I know that that's not easy to do. It takes work, and I think that when we do that, when we use any of our five senses to say, gosh, I'm just seeing and recognizing, tasting, hearing, feeling, smelling, all those things, we actually are getting a chance to receive God's goodness and say, God, I know where that thing comes from. Book of James, I think it's 1:17, says this, 1:7. It says, every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord, comes from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. You know, it's really interesting. It's saying every good, perfect gift comes from God. It also said God doesn't change. And if God was saying, where did these nine folks go? Guess what he's saying to all of us when we don't choose to say, God, I want to recognize the good things that you've given in my life. I feel like we're being given that exact same challenge and opportunity. If you're thinking that thankfulness takes a lot of effort, you are absolutely right. Like any muscle, you know, it's totally a use it or lose it thing. If we don't work it out, if we don't practice doing it, we never get better at it. The other thing is, if you think that you've got gratitude mastered, if you think you're pretty good at it, you may want to rethink that thought. And I know for me, it only takes about 2 minutes of driving in light traffic before all of my gratitude is completely evaporated and there's nothing left. And if you want a couple more examples, I pulled together a couple that I want you to check out. So take a look at this video.
Every year of every day, thousands of people fall victim to FWP.
I'm so cold.
Starving.
Nobody cares about me.
Also known as first world problems.
I'm so cold. Somebody set the AC to 72. I need it at 73.
Starving. All we have is leftovers.
Nobody cares about me. Commented or liked my status?
Hi, I'm Ryan Higa, and for just 5 hours of attention a day, you could help somebody with FWP.
Everyone keeps putting so much pressure on me. I don't know what I want for my birthday.
I have too much chips for my dip. But if I open a new dip, I'll have too much dip for my chips.
Why does Apple keep making new iPhones? Now I have to get another one?
They've been through so much struggle.
The remote's over there, but I'm all the way over here.
So much hardship.
My iPhone 5 is too big for my skinny jeans.
So much attention. Tension.
I poured my cereal without checking to see if we had milk. We didn't.
So please, show your support and send them this video. And show them how much we care about their FWPs.
I bought too many groceries. Now I'll have to make 2 trips.
All you have to do is call the URL, 1-800.org, and we'll send you the FWP Helping Kit, which includes a bridge, a straw, and a full cup with a cover.
Here's a bridge. Now get over it.
Here's a straw. Now suck it up.
Here's a full cup. Now shut the full cup. With your help, we can put an end to FWPs and focus on the real problems, like starving children or homeless people. Because if you're complaining about something as silly as the iPhone 5, just wait till you see the iPhone 6. All this? This is the iPhone 5S. This is the iPhone 6.
Yes. We can give thanks for that. Hey, those are real examples, though. When we miss the opportunity to be thankful, what naturally happens is we start to only look inward. And I know what you're thinking coming out of that video, though. You're thinking, who is that good-looking dude that looked like Terry on there that was Asian? I know that you were also thinking about that. But here's the positive thing coming out of that video. Here's the thing that I want all of us to see is that if we can work this muscle out of thankfulness, if we can do that, it means that we can get better at it. It means that we can get stronger at it. And I believe if we can get better at being thankful, we can actually get better at receiving the good things that God has for us. We can get better at receiving the community. We can get better at taking the things that God is inserting in our lives and saying, gosh, I can have a purpose with this. We can have a huge benefit of realizing what God wants with those things in our lives. You know, it's interesting. I wouldn't say that I was an expert in this, but I've really tried to be intentional with my family about saying, how do we practice this? Because my issue, if I don't have a rhythm, if I'm not regularly doing this, I just know I'm going to forget. And so one of the ways that my family does that I wanted to share with you guys today, is every night at our dinner table, we try to do an exercise called high-low. And with high-low, we take the time where everybody at the dinner table says, gosh, what's the best thing that happened today? What's the thing that you're thankful for? And what's the thing that you were not excited about? What's the thing that was a real bummer today? And I was going to share some of those with you, but I thought I had a lot better idea of a person that was going to do it. And so right now, all my daughter Lydia knows is that she's going to come up here and share with us. So I wanted to see if you guys could give a warm welcome to my daughter Lydia. Awesome hat. Do you want to hold here? Why don't you sit in my chair? It's going to be fun. You can be in the big chair. Now, Lydia, you didn't know what we were going to do, did you? Did you know what we're going to do today?
What? What are we going to do again, Dad?
Well, what we're going to do is we're going to do high-low. You know how we do high-low at dinner? And so we didn't practice this. You guys are going to see the real deal. So we have not practiced this. Lydia, will you tell everybody what your high-low was today?
My high-low was that I got to ride my bike at church today.
That's good. So she got to ride her bike. That was your what thing?
Happy thing.
Great. And what do you call the other thing?
We call those sad things.
Yeah. And was there a sad thing today?
I don't have any.
You don't have any? You can speak in here. Tell everybody you don't have any.
I don't have any.
Yes, we like that when we don't have sad things, don't we? And then after you share yours, what do you always do at dinner? No, you know what you do. You don't remember? That's right. Do you usually ask Mommy and Daddy and Tyson? What do you ask us?
What your guys' high lows was.
Yeah, and so today, my high was when you came up here and did a super awesome job. Thank you for doing it. I love you. All right. You did awesome. Can you run back to Mommy?
What?
Can you run back to Mommy?
Yeah.
Oh, man, it is good. And when we do that, every day I get the opportunity to see something I'm thankful for. You know, some of the things that I didn't even recognize, but just came out because we did this exercise. Imagine how you feel when your daughter says, God, you know, it's like, hey, Lydia, what was your high today? She's like, well, my super happy thing is when you came home today. I'm like, oh my gosh, yes. I was like, cherish these moments forever, never get old. You know, you say all those things that you're like, I'll never say that. But man, there is just something to being intentional about taking the time to do that. And I want us to be equipped. I want us to have the opportunity not to miss this. I'm amazed just by taking a little bit of time, what kind of difference that can make. And so I want all of us to think about, what are the opportunities that we're going to have? What are the opportunities we're going to have this Thanksgiving? Thankfulness is the primary muscle we use to experience God. But I feel like on the back end of that, not only does God want us to experience things, not only does God want us to be thankful for them, there's actually something that comes on the back end. And so we saw in the story earlier with the 10 lepers that many of them took an action, but it wasn't connected with thankfulness. I believe that God wants us specifically to act coming out of our thankfulness. I think if thankfulness is the primary muscle we use to experience God, that thankfulness is an active pursuit of God's kingdom. Thankfulness is an active pursuit of God's kingdom where we are taking action. You know, one of the things that I've been really guilty of is that I've been looking at Thanksgiving as much more of a personal time of just reflecting on the things that I am thankful for. And I feel like essentially what I'm doing is I'm saying, you know what, this whole thing, it's more like Thanksfeeling than it is Thanksgiving. But if I'm honest, I look at what Scripture says, and the Bible talks a lot about what Thanksgiving is. It talks at least 70 times. If you include praise, it's well over 100 times. It is really clear that this thing is not thanksfeeling. There is a giving action that's associated with it. I wanted to pull just a couple examples I pulled out. First one, Isaiah 12, says this over here. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Does, Does it say to feel on his name? You know, make known among the nations what he's done. Proclaim that his name is exalted. That is thanksgiving. What's the next one on here? Colossians 3:17, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. One more here. Give what? Thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. See how it doesn't say feel in any of those, but all of these are directly linked to actions. You know, left to ourselves, we can start to just really focus internally. What are the things we're thankful for? And what we do is we miss the opportunity to actually share the goodness in our lives. I think when we do that, we actually not only rob the people around us of the really good things that we have, we actually miss the opportunity for God to continue to pour into us when we're holding on too tightly to some of the things in our lives. You know, I wish I actually had a lot better example of this one to share with you. And this is one that I've actually been failing on lately. I've not been doing well, and I've really been trying to pour intentional time into doing better on this. I found this out. I thought I was doing a lot better. It's amazing what you can learn on an hour and a half drive from Columbus to Cincinnati with your wife. And so we were coming back from a wedding that we were at. Some of our friends got married. And during that time, I was sitting there thinking, gosh, our marriage is in a great place. And one of the cards that I got during the journey, one of the challenge cards, was to have another discussion with somebody, and that ended up being April. I just felt like that's where God was leading me to. And so I said, honey, I just want to tell you that I think our marriage is in the best place that it's been, because I genuinely was believing that. I was feeling that. And it was really interesting. As my wife's driving back, because she tends to get car sick, she starts kind of tearing up and crying, and I'm thinking, like, crap, you're gonna wreck the car. Like, this is not what I was thinking when I was doing this. Like, I'm not gonna say anything else about our marriage at all. And she stopped to say, I needed to hear that, because there are times that I don't feel that. There are times where I don't realize that I'm putting effort into things, but I just don't know, and I need affirmation that we're actually going in a good direction. It's that moment I'm like, oh my gosh, I've been missing such an opportunity to do what? Not to feel thanks, but to give thanks. And let me say, when I did that, there was something really, really sweet and good that didn't just happen between me and April. Man, there was something in obedience to God saying, God, I am giving and sharing the goodness that you have with me outside of myself. I want to show you guys some pictures from this weekend. Talk about Thanksgiving. We didn't feel about people in our city. We decided to give thanks to our city. And what does 11,000 boxes, 86,000 meals look like? It looks like this. What is on the people's faces? There is joy when people gave outside of themselves. Is that not amazing? Or how about this? This weekend, yes, 95 people showed what it meant not to feel thanks, but to give thanks. When right in front of us, 95 people decided to get baptized this weekend and show God, God, I want to give you thanks with myself. How good is that? And many people are giving thanks. They're not feeling, they're giving thanks through the givefreedom.net website. And this isn't something to push this. I am just excited that number this weekend was like 400. There are 700 people getting freedom. Many people are giving freedom. And the amazing thing, people are experiencing freedom on both ends of that. People are getting to receive grace because somebody wanted to give thanks. People that are giving thanks are receiving this gift from God saying, I am free from what money holds over me. I am free from fear over anything what can happen. God, I am choosing to trust you. That is what Thanksgiving looks like. Man, there is amazing, amazing stuff happening around here if we're willing to sit there and say, God, I'm willing to inventory, take time to look at the things that I have that you have given me and you've entrusted me, and I'm willing to take an action with it. I'm willing to do something with it. We've been talking about Thanksgiving and a little bit of food. I want to share one more thing that you guys might not know about me. And that is, my family had a breakfast, brunch, and lunch restaurant for a lot of years. It was called Daybreak. And we loved that restaurant. A whole family worked there. My parents, my little sister, uncles, cousins, everybody worked there. We worked our tails off. I mean, we really, really loved this place. And while we didn't have Thanksgiving turkeys, we had this amazing turkey wrap that we would dip in chili mayo. Oh my gosh, so good. I'm sorry, my mind's all thinking about food right now. And so we had this great restaurant, and I remember I would do a little bit of everything. So one of the days I was waiting on a couple that had come in, and I remember they were sitting down, and they started telling us about how much they love the place and how much they love the staff and what their favorite dishes were. And I'm thinking, oh, this is great. And I remember telling them, and you've got to help us get the word out. You know, you've got to help us, you know, get the word out in the community and bring your friends. And they said something that I will never, ever forget. You know, the couple looked at me, and they said, yeah, no, we don't want to do that. You know, this is our spot. This is our place, and we don't want it to get so crowded. We don't want everyone to find out, otherwise there's going to be a line out the door. It was then, like, I just wanted to spit in their food, and I thought about it. I did not do it, but it was in that moment where I realized really clearly, you do not love us. You don't love us. You are not willing to share the good stuff that we share with you. You do not love us. And I know if that's my earthly human response, how much is there a father that says, gosh, if you don't share the good things that I've given you, if you don't both recognize and then share them, you don't love me. But let me completely flip that. There is a God that says, if you recognize the goodness that I put in your life, if you take the time to inventory and see the good stuff, if you're willing to say, I recognize those good things, I'm going to take the time to share them, man, I know you love me. And watch what I can do for you. I know this Thanksgiving, we are all going to have unbelievable opportunities to recognize the things that God's doing, to flex this muscle of thankfulness, and we're all going to have opportunities to put it into action. And I can't help but think, what if? What if we chose to begin to recognize things during this Thanksgiving time? What if when we were watching football, we just decided to start to think about, well, God, what are the things that are important? What are the things around me that I can just be incredibly thankful for? Maybe we'll get the chance not to just watch football, but we're going to stop and say, man, I want to tell you really awkwardly during like Beyonce getting on mute, like during halftime, like, I just want to tell you what you mean to me. I want to tell you that God is a gift that you are in my life. Like, I just want to recognize that. I want to tell you that. What if during this time where we inventoried all the things that we have, we just start to see things that we could actually put into the kingdom and bless people with? What would happen to that if our activities were kingdom-oriented? I think something amazing could happen. You know, I start to think about, what if every one of us hit that pause button during the halftime show? What if every one of us did that in Northern Kentucky? What if every one of us who was in the middle of our Black Friday shopping also took our friend to lunch and say, hey, we're going to take a break for a minute because there are a couple things that I need to let you know about. I can't tell you exactly what would happen, but man, I can't help but think, but God would open the floodgates so big and crazy that it would be amazing. I want that. I want that for you right now. I want all of us to experience this unbelievable blessing that God has for us. And I believe we can have it. I believe it starts with us with flexing this thing of thankfulness and actually choosing to take action with it. Let's pray for that. God, I love Thanksgiving. I love so many things about it. I talked about loving potatoes, and I talked about shopping and football. But God, I just want to say right now, the biggest thing that I love and thankful for is you. God, I'm thankful that you are a God that meets us right where we're at. And God, even though that we are all imperfect, even though we forget, God, you are persistent. And God, the one thing that you ask us to do, you don't even ask us to go in and do much. You first just say, just start recognizing what's good in my life. God, I pray that you speak to us right now. Who are the people you want to put in our minds? What are the things that you're putting into our hands that we can deploy? What's a time that we need to hit the pause button tomorrow or this weekend? God, give us courage to follow through on that. God, thank you so much for the many, many, many good gifts that I know are in this room. We pray that together in Jesus' name. Amen.